NFL linebacker Darrell Washington talks concussions, his comeback, and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Hey.
What? We just want some what, Darrell?
You know it.
Just want some money. We just want some money.
We all want some money.
The legal way, though.
Yes, absolutely.
Simple enough, right?
Yes. There you go.
Hi, guys.
I'd like some taxable income, please.
Tax-free for two years.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Hi, guys. We missed you guys. Sports Weekly, special edition, because we're kind of on hiatus, but when someone so special like Darrell Washington is in the building, we have to come. We have to reconvene. But before we get to Darrell, thanks, guys, for hanging out with us in the chat room every Thursday night. Not really. Every other Thursday night. I don't know. Once a month, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, on Instastory, and on Twitter at Erica Renee D.
What's up? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Venmo at Josh_Rodriguez_. I just want some money. Pay me.
I really wish I had my Cash App memorized. That was slick. I'm just at _MartinWeiss, and that's all I got. You can DM me, a link to your PayPal. I can request.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. Also follow BHL on Instagram at BHL Online. But most importantly, Darrell Washington, where can the people find you?
Find me on DarrellWashington_58 on Instagram. Check me out. Holler at him.
Now, if you guys are loving what we're playing right now, it was Darrell's pick, Kevin Gates. Mm-hmm. We all want some money. He got his Venmo. You got Martin's DM. You can PayPal him. You can PayPal all of us. And actually, Darrell, you can PayPal us too, because you're going to be going to the Cowboys soon. But we'll get to that later. So, been in the league since 2010. All pro linebacker, pro bowler. You have been one of the most dominant forces in your position for a while. And now we're here to talk your comeback and more. I don't know. I mean, where do we want to get started? Let's talk about where you are today with the Cardinals, or getting back into the league after having left the Cardinals.
Well, I mean, me and the Cardinals have a mutual decision for us to part ways and me to start fresh. So I think that was the best idea for the both parties. No animosity towards the Cardinals organization. I appreciate everything Mike Bidwell and Bruce Arians and Steve Kine did for me, and what I did for them as well. So much respect to them, and good luck to them this season.
Okay. So we're looking forward now. Now, before we talk Cowboys and other possible teams, I keep throwing out Cowboys because that's where your heart is. You're from Texas.
D-town, baby.
So you're from Texas, and you actually played at TCU. Talk a little bit about your college experience as a Horned Frog.
Shout out to Gary Patterson, by the way, too. But, it was an awesome experience for me. That 4 years seemed like it went by too quickly. But I enjoyed my time there, played with some great guys, Stephen Hodge, some of the guys that played in the league, Jerry Hughes, Robert Henson, Jason Phillips. It was just a great group of guys that really had an awesome time at TCU, and a wonderful experience for me.
When I think of TCU, in addition to your purple jerseys, I think about how you guys notoriously go for it on a 4th-and-1. Like, that's one thing I always think about when it comes to, to your mentality or your...
Notoriously?
Oh, well, notorious when it doesn't work out, for you guys. Okay, so TCU, fast forward, you got drafted overall, number 47, second round, 2010. All your dreams came true. Talk about becoming a Cardinal for those first 3 years in the league.
It was just an awesome experience for me. I didn't really think about the National Football League, making it to the Football League until maybe my junior year in college, And for me to get there, it was like a dream come true for me. It changed my whole life forever. It changed my family life. Of course, my mother was the most proud of me. And, I just give all honor to God because, I had a crazy experience growing up. Really getting it out the mud, that's where I was. And for me to get to that level, I was at the highest level of it all, and I enjoyed my time while I was there, and hopefully this comeback will be big time.
So what have you been doing for preparing for this comeback? You've been out of the league for 3 years. Have you been working out, doing drills? What goes into this comeback?
All of the above. You got to stay working out, because you always got to feel like even when you're out of the league and you're going through, adversity, you want to still make sure you're in shape. Mm-hmm. Even if maybe you don't have your mind right all the way there, keep your body in shape. you know, try to buy your time with, you know, giving back to the community and doing stuff like that to make sure your mind is staying positive, making sure that, you know, your family is in order. And, you know, those are some of the things I was doing. But I was always staying in shape. I'm always a guy that doesn't necessarily say, well, I'm going to ever be out of shape. I'm going to always take care of my body and continuously doing that. So even after football, I would do that.
Nice. Has there been a skill set that you wanted to improve, like a particular skill set that you wanted to work on as in your time off? Like, did you want to get quicker? Or is it like your footwork? Or
I mean, everything. I mean, I always tell people, you know, when you talk about the game of football, it's easy for me. It comes easy. So, mm-hmm. You know, but I'm never content with anything that I do with football. I want to make sure that I'm getting better at everything. You know, gotcha. More explosive, faster, bigger, stronger, more knowledgeable of the game. So, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I can work on all areas each and every day.
When you were in Arizona, you were like, you pro ball, you know, you were one of the best linebackers in the league. At any point in time, did it feel like that you would be in a position right now? Like, at any point when you're, like, out there making tackles and actually playing and going through it, the weekly routine of being a pro, do you have that feeling like this could go at any minute? Because I imagine it has to happen very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really even think about it, man. It really shocked me, man. I was kind of on this pedestal, man. I was like, you know, my whole mindset was to play football, take care of my family, mm-hmm. You know. And, you know, things spiraled out of control, and, you know, I thought I can handle it, and I couldn't, and, you know, I could have had the right resources around me. Sometimes it's a pride thing for a man where you feel like you can handle situations when you in some adversity. But, you know, it was too much for me to deal with. And, you know, it spiraled out of control. But I didn't think it was, you know, I was going to be out of the league. I thought I was going to be that guy that was going to play 10 to 12 years straight and, you know, retire on my own. And, you know, that's what's so great about this comeback, man. Yeah. Because, you know, guys don't leave the game for 3 years and come back and say, oh, he's too old. But, you know, and, you know, from being interviewed, people tell me your best days are behind you. And I say, no, I was just peaking. My best days are ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you had 3 years off technically, so you're not getting hit for 3 years. Right. I mean, your body's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, right? And I've never been seriously injured. So, you know, you got to take that into account too. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. What you do with your body and what you put in your body is what's going to make a difference for me. And I think this is going to be like the biggest comeback of a mile. Nice. So I'm excited.
All right, now, so you have some obvious interest in the Cowboys right now, but have you been in contact with any other team?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Steelers, actually. Okay. You know, okay. They have an interest, too. So, I mean, I have my guy up there. Shout out to Joey Porter. He's up there in Pittsburgh, man. I played with him 2 years in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So that's my big brother, man. And we talk all the time. And he's working things out for me up there in Pittsburgh, just in case the Cowboys doesn't work. So.
Cool. So you talk about this pedestal that you feel like you were on, and you look at people like Mike Vick and, you know, other athletes who have these crazy falls from grace. What about you got into your head so much that you thought that you were bigger than the game?
Well, I don't want to say I was bigger than the game. I just thought that, you know, like I said, once again, football always came so easy. I mean, I was out there, you know, the cameras was on me, and, you know, people were, you know, really, like, boosting me up. And I already felt like that, you know, but it was a confidence thing. But I think being around bad influences and, you know, really not, I guess, being vulnerable to situations outside of football, which caused me to kind of have a down spiral. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point I lost focus. And, you know, the game of football was still important, but, you know, sometimes it's not about the game of football on the field. It's off the field. And that's where I needed to, you know, make adjustments and get right.
What are some of the things that you've learned from, because, I mean, you had a suspension for, was it for violating substance policy?
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy deal, man. I was, you know, it was, like I said, it was a pride thing. I mean, I felt like, you know, at some point in your mind, when you're going through a lot of different things, you know, I was just having a child and it was a lot of things going on. Family members was, you know, yanking at me. And, you know, I thought I was going to be the guy that, oh, man, $10,000, a lot of money. That was my first check, by the way. I thought I was rich, you know. But it was a lot of things going on that that they talked about in those rookie symposiums when I first came in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I ain't going to be that guy, you know. But it was just one of those deals where I got caught up into that and not knowing how to handle family and not knowing how to handle, you know, a newborn and, you know, and just trying to balance that with football. And I think all those things kind of, you know, I lost focus. And, you know, I got caught up into the substance abuse. And, you know, that was my, you know, choice of doing that. And I take full responsibility. So, you know, and I'm, you know, move past that. And, you know, I'm ready to play football.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Martin.
I was because it was like, while you mentioned the rookie symposium, and like all rookies go through it to kind of like just educate them on what life in the NFL is like. But I wonder if, because I mean, you didn't get into any type of issue until you've been in the league for a couple years, right? So I was wondering, would you think it's beneficial if the NFL or just pro leagues in general had like a almost like a continuing education type thing, whereas like you are now, like for example, you're coming up off your rookie deal. Like this is how you make your bank, right? Or you're coming up off, you know, sign a short term deal here, and you can get extended long term, you know, down the line. Like the market's not right for defensive ends right now. Next year it'll be better. Or just like, but like while in that aspect, but also just like socially, because like you said, you've always been boosted up, and going to a school like Michigan, you can kind of see the athletes getting, you know, I won't say preferential treatment, but
yeah.
The football team makes millions of dollars, literally mm-hmm. millions of dollars, and they don't make any money, so right. there's going to yeah. be an investment somewhere along the line.
Right.
So I'm just curious, is like, because once you kind of like get out of that, and you're still an NFL player, but if you're not like, even at reach the heights that you reach, the Pro Bowl or all, mm-hmm. sniffing all pro or being all pro, like if you're just a regular man on the 53, like what responsibility does the NFL have to help keep that man in the league?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I think they have. I mean, they have guys where, you know, they set aside like a player development guy, you mm-hmm. know, who you can go to. But I think you have to reach out to them on your own. And that's a good question, man, because I think we need more of those player development people who not only can talk to the guys who have been drafted, but the guys who are just coming in and who are trying to make the 53-man roster. And I think you need more of that. Like, you need, you know, kind of emphasize that more about the rookie symposiums and, you know, how to manage money and, you know, kind of.
Because, I mean, you know, I think about, like, Chris Carter, who's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. But right. his first 2 years in the league, he was doing, he had drug problems, right. got cut from his team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was lucky to get picked up because he very well could have, there's only 60 starting wide receiver jobs mm-hmm. in the NFL?
Right.
So, he was lucky to get picked back up and then, obviously, do what he did. He took the most of his opportunity, but I'm just like, if he never got picked up, then we don't have, like, yeah. the second-best receiver of all time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just where I think about it. It's like,
that's an inspiration as well, right. man, for him to go through that. I mean, I take Ray Lewis, you know, as the most inspirational guy, mm-hmm. my favorite player of all time, man. Another guy, Sean Taylor. Rest in peace, Sean
yeah.
Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, two of those guys that kind of went through some adversity, too, and you know, it really kind of helps my mindset. You know, I feel like if Ray Lewis can come off that, you know, the deal he was going through, I don't really want to kind of discuss it, but we all know if we look at it.
Right.
But, you know, from him coming off that and even Michael Vick going through what he went through with the dog fighting and stuff, man, you know, it really kind of brings inspiration to my life to say, you know what, you know, maybe they haven't been out of the league as long as me, but it gives me some type of inspiration and motivation to be willing to come back
mm-hmm.
and then be better than I was when I came in.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that's my whole goal, man, and, of course, hold up the Lombardi. So, you know,
right.
like I said, once again, I'm excited, man, to come back, and people going to have their faults and say, well, can he still do it?
Right.
I mean, of course I still can do it. You know,
right.
you know, of course, so I'm excited about it.
So let's say, okay, you said you're kind of talking to the Steelers, but you're a Texas boy, college growing up, you grew up there too. You want to go back to Texas, because I think I read an article that said you can see the Cowboy Stadium from your front door, hypothetically. But let's say that you have to make a pitch to Jerry Jones and the other personnel in Dallas right now. What is it about you that sets you above and beyond any other person they're looking at in your position?
Well, Mr. Jerry Jones, Darrell Washington himself. I mean, of course, I'm a more mature guy. And, you know, obviously, I think y'all need a linebacker such as myself to hold down that defense with Sean Lee and, you know, the upcoming Jalen Smith. So just bring me in, man. And I don't want to do too much talking. I want to just prove to you that, you know, I'm capable of, you know, really coming in and sparking, bringing some spark to that defense, man. I think we have a chance to really make a Super Bowl run. So I'm excited. Jerry Jones, holler at me. Darrell Washington _50 Instagram.
That's right, Jerry.
Holler at my agent, Eric Gerhardt, out of Houston.
And if I'm signed by the Cowboys, I'll stay away from Eli Manning. Thank you.
I don't know about that.
Right, right.
I just wonder if Jerry Jones is on Instagram.
No.
I can't imagine Jerry's posting his own selfies, like in the owner's box.
Like Al Sharpton. Like Al Sharpton selfies.
Him next to Tony Romo. Like,
yes. Hey.
Well, now Dak and now Daryl. BTW, side note, Raina and I, we call ourselves, or I call us, the Dak Riders, because they don't like that name. But no.
This is new to me. Yeah. I didn't know.
You weren't here for basketball.
You were here for basketball season. So I'm a UG. I'm a real Bulldog. Dak was a fake Bulldog. But, you know, I always cheer for my SEC boys when they come out of college and go to the pros. And so that's how I became a Dak fan. I was watching Dak way before he was on anyone's radar. I mean, I don't think he was on anyone's radar until Tony Romo proved to be more of Tony Romo. But at any rate, we'll be cheering for you once you sign for the Cowboys. We're not real Cowboys fans, but we are Dak fans, which means we have to be your fan,
yes,
too.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So he can handle the offense, and you know, I could be the guy on the defense.
Right. So Dak Riders, Daryl cheerleaders. okay, so now you have to be a part of our conversation. Now you are officially christened a BHL host. So now you're just a part of the panel now.
Awesome, man. I appreciate
ready.
It.
Hey,
let's do it.
Let's do this.
Is anyone in the chat, by the way?
Hey, chat room.
The chat room.
God.
We have Demo.
Demo, what up?
Our loyal Demo is in the chat room.
And no one else is in the chat because we weren't supposed to film.
Nice.
I know we're on hiatus. Okay, so per Sammy Watkins' tweet, he said the NFL players should be making NBA type money. Speak on that.
Oof. Well, I mean, there's 53 players on a team, so there's less money to go around. That's right. The reason why they're not making that much money.
True.
Unfortunately.
Well, that's not the reason why NBA money.
That's a lot of it.
NFL players are making NBA money. And speak
well,
to us because you're here.
CBA also.
Right, but when the NFL was holding out and had an opportunity to really hold the owners over the coals, they came back to play.
Yeah.
And so, like, the NBA was like, no, I'm not dribbling. Right. Baseball's not picking up a single stitch on a baseball unless y'all are paying my guaranteed money.
But you have quarterbacks making that type of money. So
it's not about the quarterbacks,
though. But it's the value of the position. I mean, you have 53 players, and then most of the money goes to the quarterback, and then you have to pay your offensive lineman, your defensive lineman. Like, there's so many positions, and there's only so much money to go around.
I think it's interesting all the way around. I agree with Sammy Watkins because, I mean, I think football is the most dangerous sport out of all the sports.
Yeah, I agree.
We have to keep that in mind. But it is 53 men that you have to go around, but, you know, everyone doesn't get the same amount of money.
Right.
I think, you know, but like I said, once again, football is the most dangerous sport out there. Let's just give us a little bit more guaranteed.
More guaranteed.
Not only, and I don't know if y'all saw this, but it was three NBA players, Kyle Lowry, Paul Millsap, and Steph Curry, got paid more money guaranteed than 20 NFL quarterbacks.
That right there, that's the issue.
Ridiculous.
Like football is the shortest and most dangerous, but it also generates by far the most revenue in the shortest amount of time. So you're not telling me that there's not money there, but it's really it's the union.
But is it for a certain position that you want to see the money for, or is it for everybody?
No, but really, like, where the money really benefits is a guy like Otto Porter. Where you see, like, but seriously,
he's averaging 13 points a game.
Honestly, he's a marginal NBA player. He's definitely a starter.
$100 million about to get,
and he's about to get $100 million because of the way the salary cap works. Like, that's not happening to your middle linebacker,
right?
It's not happening unless he's anybody. I mean, he could be the best middle linebacker of all time. It's not gonna happen. Even if it was like commensurate, that's happening to Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Like, your middle linebacker's not getting that money,
right?
You want to jump in,
right? Oh, no. I was just agreeing on the fact that it is a dangerous sport.
Right.
I mean, to take care of your players, I mean, you got to give them some money for that.
Right.
I mean, this at least a little bit of more guaranteed. I mean, it's
that's
no guarantee.
That's what hurts.
You know, I mean, you got the CTEs, guys are having concussions, guys are having problems after. I mean, guys are taking an extremely amount of pills, and they're having pain. And I mean, it's a lot that goes into it. Just a little bit more guaranteed. We're not, you know, CBA needs to change a little bit. We're not saying give us the big, big bulk of money, but a little bit more guaranteed.
Like the Steph Curry money, but you do need more guaranteed money.
But even if they do negotiate with CBA, I don't see anyone getting Steph Curry money, do you?
No, I mean. No.
But it's not even about Steph money. It's like you can sign a five-year deal for whatever amount, I don't know. You can sign a five-year, $60 million deal in the NFL, and you get cut after year two, you might not get the rest of that money.
You're not getting it.
No, you're not getting it.
It depends on how long
you
guarantee
about,
on your deal.
You got to think about maybe a six-year $38 million, and then you got to break the $38 million down,
right?
Then you got to pay the agent, then you may have a lawyer, then you may have, you know, chastity, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But then you're looking at maybe, you know, out of $38 million, you may get $20 million, you know, maybe guaranteed. But then you break that $20 million supposed to guarantee,
right?
Cut it in half as well. So now you, I mean, it's ridiculous, man. So I advise people when they see these 6-year, $30 million deals, you're not getting all that money.
Right.
You know, and when they see it at the bottom, so don't read into everything you see.
Why not? Why don't more NFL players, because I was thinking about this with Stafford. Stafford's about to sign a crazy long deal after Derek Carr just signed his,
go
right?
Because
he's like next one up, right?
Yeah.
Why don't more quarterbacks take less years, more guaranteed money?
That's interesting, man. I mean, because the quarterback position is so vital, man. You need a quarterback, man, in the NFL. It's a passing league. It's an offensive league. The fans want to see points scored on the board.
Yeah,
that's right. Why it's so hard to play defense, you know. Right. But they want to see more touchdowns and, you know, more progression. So they're going to sign these long deals and make it look good and, you know, and then, you know, depending on if you can ride it out or how good you are. So I'm interested to see how Derek Carr going to play out.
Right.
He has the weapons around him, so, I mean, I think he's a good quarterback.
And even though he took $125 million, I'm reading recently that he actually took a little less so some of his teammates could come back as veterans for their worth. Do you agree with the $125 million deal that Derek Carr, that he got, or?
I mean, if the guy's worth it, we'll see. We'll see if he's worth it this year.
Is he worth it to you? Like, I mean, from what you've seen so far, has Derek Carr proven to you that he's worth that contract?
I'm mutual in that. I don't know. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a lot of an extraordinary amount, a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money to give. And I think he saved $8 million actually moving
to Vegas,
something in Texas. So that's crazy. But we'll see if he can prove it this year and then ask me that again.
I'd say Derek Carr's contract, at least it's one that if he's going to earn it while he's getting it, while he's getting his money, as opposed to like the Kobe's last 2 years. Like, Kobe got paid like kind of like a lifetime contract.
A lifetime achievement contract.
That's Kobe. That's my favorite.
I'm not knocking it.
He did the same thing with Jeter.
I'm just saying, like, player, it's more friendly for player and team.
Yeah.
Because he's going into his prime as a quarterback and he's getting his first big deal.
Right.
Like, a lot of times that doesn't happen. That doesn't line up right.
Yeah.
Raina, chat room?
Well, chat room, Dima says they don't make NBA money because the NFL doesn't want it. More money equals more power. The NFL wants their players walking on eggshells.
Are you walking on eggshells in the NFL? Are you walking on eggshells?
Our chat room is real, so.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy, man. I mean, you know, like I said, I just agree with just the give us more money up front.
Right.
Let us earn it. Yeah. I mean, in my situation, of course, let me earn it. I'm not looking for $3-4 million, whatever. But let me earn it. Let us earn the money, but don't try to blackball us.
Yeah,
right.
Pay us less and knowing that we got to go out there and put our body through all that pain.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's crazy.
Speaking of walking on eggshells, Colin Kaepernick did not walk on eggshells, and now he's still unsigned. What are your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick?
That's an interesting deal, man. I mean, if you reading between the lines and just being flat out blunt. You know, they talk about this blackball deal. I mean, it's something going on much more than a guy like that who's versatile, who can run and throw, and who's been to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's not signed?
Right.
The math don't add up.
Right.
You don't think he's better than some of these quarterbacks that starters right now?
Right.
Josh McCown.
You telling me he can't be a first string or a second team quarterback? Nobody wants to bring a guy in like that. I mean, it's more to it than, you know.
And Pete Carroll said he's a starter in this league and then proceeded not to sign him.
Interesting. just like he didn't run the ball with Marshawn Lynch. Second Super Bowl in a row, you don't want to run it with Marshawn Lynch after he just got 6 yards on the previous play? I mean, that's – come on, man. It's Atlanta Falcons up 28 points in a Super Bowl. And
it's mind-boggling.
Hey,
I just wonder because I never played football. I never played at a high level, obviously. But I just wonder if it's just the moment catches up to people because you can sit there. I could sit there on my couch and be like, yo, run the ball. Run the ball. Run the ball. Like, and say it for like with 15 minutes left in the third quarter until there's no time left in the fourth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, so I just wonder, is it just people just get caught up in the moment? It's like, what is that about?
It's a pride thing, man. It's a pride thing. I mean, you have to understand what was building up to that. I'm only here not to get fined.
Good point. Yes.
And then you don't want to. I mean, you understand it. You're smart enough to understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, all that stuff leads up to that. You know, like the Matt Ryan. I mean, okay, yeah, we'll give you Offensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not gonna let you win the Super Bowl by any means. We're gonna give it to the the guy we want to have it. I mean,
the golden boy.
Yeah, the golden boy. So the same way with, you know, it's a pride thing with coaches sometimes, man. And maybe it's over their head sometimes. Who knows? But you seen the reaction on the Seahawks bench
when they threw
the ball. Who throws the ball on the 1 yard line? You got the best running back in the lead. I mean, I'm not even a Seahawks fan.
When
but
the other team can't even stop the clock.
You can't. And then you always got to say the right things. But I mean, I'm just gonna be flat out and blunt. Run the ball with Marshawn Lynch. I would audible. I would have said, Marshawn Lynch, you know what? Coach told me to throw the ball. But we're going to audible. Yeah. We finna win our second Super Bowl back-to-back.
Thank you.
We giving you the ball.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll take the fall for you on this one. I mean, that's simple as that. But, you know, they wanted to give it to Russell and fell short for him.
The rest is history.
Right. Concussions. Have you ever had a concussion?
Yeah, not in the National Football League.
No?
I think that was back in eighth grade, but I think I was being. See, I used to play a lot of throwback tackle in the street, and I think one time it got to me. We played throwback tackle on the football field, and I ran head on with a guy without a helmet on though.
Yeah,
it hurts my head. To think about it now. That's the only time.
Hurt my head. Concussion. Jeez.
If you got a concussion playing for the Cowboys next season, would you play through the concussion?
No. But it depends on how serious it is, though. I mean,
sometimes you don't even know if you have a concussion.
True.
So, and if you don't know and you kind of black out and then kind of come back, you know, I don't know, man. I'm the type of guy that, you know, you play off adrenaline. Like, if I get hurt, then I'm not the guy to sit on the bench and
just
collect checks. I want to be out there playing and competing. So that's an interesting question. I don't know if I would or I wouldn't. It just depends on how serious it is.
So when there's, like, tests that you would take, too, like after the game and stuff, and I guess according to the test, I don't know if it's the same for NFL.
Well, you actually
like,
do it during the game.
You do it during the
game?
Yeah,
they'll take you to the sideline, and I've seen it.
I don't know about that. Sometimes I just feel like it's not as accurate. Like, if I feel good, I'm going to keep playing, but I think concussions are a huge, huge deal. You can't take that, like, lightly.
Yeah. Once again, it's the adrenaline, though. I mean, like, as a competitor, guys would be like, the first question they may ask you, from what I've seen, is, what's the score? Or what's the time when they, you know, guys looking over there and they're like, no, just look at me. What? Then the guys can't remember. But they trying to think about what the score is because they want to get back out there.
Not knowing
really how serious this is. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a serious deal when you have a concussion or you get a concussion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can affect you. I mean, we saw the junior say out stories.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
You're 30 now, right? 30. So I don't know too many linebackers over, like, 35. So just for this hypothetical, let's just say you get signed and you play for 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Would you trade that 5 years for, like, in 35 years from now? Like, you know, 65, 70, you have memory loss and issues like that? Like, would you try? I mean, it's almost an impossible question to ask. But I'm just genuinely curious. Because people say, you know, oh, they know the dangers they're getting into. Mm-hmm. They know the situations they're getting into. Oh, they have millions and millions of dollars, so why do I care about their concussions? Like, I can't say that, but I've heard that before. I used to be on the radio. That's all the calls we used to get. So I'm curious, as somebody out of the league right now, mm-hmm. would you trade the 5 years in the NFL? Like, as a player, you know what I'm saying? Starting or, you know what I'm saying, you in rotation, you playing, whatever. And whatever that 5 years gives you, whether it's three Super Bowls or 5 years of 4-12, like, would you think you would, like, take that deal?
Take that over having a concussion or long term?
No, I'm just saying, like, yeah, in long term, you know, forever, you just age as you would currently. You know what I'm saying? You just age normally. But you hear, like, you know, you see the reports of people who played in the league, you know, 30 years later,
right. They
can't get to the grocery store. Or
I don't think I would, man, because, you know, I have two girls, man, mm-hmm. and I can't go through that. I mean, I'd rather walk away from the game healthy, just like Mayweather said, man. I don't get hit. I don't want to be like a Muhammad Ali.
Right.
You know, and, you know, shout out to Muhammad Ali, too. But I wouldn't want to go through that long-term effect after playing those five or whatever years and be 30 years where I can't move and I can't remember stuff. I wouldn't trade it.
No. Touching on concussions, too, if you had a young a boy, parenting, if there's a parent that wants to put their son into football, there's some parents that won't put him into tackle football until, like, high school, or they'll start him as young as, like, sixth grade, fifth grade. What are your thoughts on that for starting it as a kid? Yeah, I mean, you grew up playing,
It wasn't as serious then, but now it's, you know, people are talking about that topic more and more now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I think it's an interesting question. I mean, you have to think about the long-term effects of how serious concussions are and how dangerous the sport is. Mm-hmm. You know, and if I had a boy, I'd put him in basketball.
So you wouldn't let your son play football?
As at this point, no. You know, because it is, I mean, concussions are serious. And I've seen guys, man, I had this one guy in college, man, who had a concussion and never shook back from it. I mean, he's literally messed up to this day. But, you know, the sport of football, man, is so compact that any play you can lose your mind or you can go crazy. But it's out there, and people are like, man, is he crazy? Oh, yeah, bipolar, man, it's all that from that banging. Every play, it's like hitting a truck every play.
Yeah.
Think about how bad your body hurts. So if I had a son, or my advice to kids coming up, I mean, if you want to put them in there, be safe. Wear all your equipment. You know, just protect yourself. But, you know, if I had a son out here, he'd be playing basketball. That's my favorite sport.
I can't imagine. My body just hurts when I wake up. I didn't do anything the day before. It just hurts when I wake up. I get out of bed.
Get old, man.
Right.
Yeah, that must be it.
Before we do NFC East predictions, I want to ask you, should college athletes get paid?
I wrote a paper on that in 2008, my sophomore year in college. Yes. I mean, I think they should. I mean, you know, it's a money-making business all the way around. And, you know, college athletes, that they can give you, go out there and compete for you and you know, do the necessary things to help your team win. You're already bringing in revenue. Why not pay the guys who are making those contributions to that team and to that, you know, whatever college they're going to? Why not?
So, but you played football at TCU.
Yeah.
I was on the dance team at UGA. Raina played basketball. Do we get paid, too, or just the football players?
We can make an exception for you guys too.
An I mean, cause you got,
because you know what I'm saying. If you know, it goes both ways. Because you know, if a fan of yours is in the stands and has your jersey on, then of course you got like 7-8 more people. You know, depending on how good you are, where you at, what level you on. I mean, you got people wearing your jerseys. People are getting paid for. You know, people should get paid for it. Why not?
Okay.
Should get paid for doing good, great things.
Right. Mm.
Give us some predictions, NFL predictions, your soon-to-be conference predictions, your soon-to-be division predictions.
Cowboys going to win it all.
Come on.
Forget the division.
Yeah.
Cowboys going to win it all, not Cowboys. Just the division. The NFC Championship, the Super Bowl.
Damn.
You know, only if I'm on the team, they're going to win it.
I know two people who think that, him and Skip Bayless.
Only if I'm on the team. I think they have the whole formula. They're just missing one person.
They need
to
bolster their defense.
To be fair, though,
they do need to bolster their defense.
They draft their first round pick tackle Charlton, defensive end, right? Fourth round, they got Jordan Lewis, who had a domestic dispute. Wow. Mm-hmm. Before the draft, he's probably the best cover. He was the best cover corner in college football last year. So while like he said it in tongue in cheek, but there is a hole at linebacker.
Yeah.
Because if Jalen Smith knee, and then, I mean, Sean even Lee. If. And Sean Lee only is good for like 10 games a year because he's going to miss six.
Jerry Jones. You hear this, man? Hey, it's a hole, baby. Fill me in.
That's what linebackers do. They fill the hole.
There you go.
There you go.
Fill me in.
Okay, so this is the part of the show where we talk about whether these topics are a big deal or nah. Big deal or nah, Dak Prescott might be using a machine to sign autographs. Is that a big deal?
That's interesting. What do you mean, a machine?
So, you know, you guys sign thousands and thousands of footballs, posters, whatever, jerseys. So he's, you know, the big man on campus right now. He allegedly is using a machine to sign autographs so he doesn't physically have to do it with his own hand.
Hmm.
Or he's left-handed.
That's interesting.
Big deal or nah?
Hell yeah, that's a big deal. Yeah. That's whack.
Terrible.
You pay tons of money for an autograph, and it says, like, certified, authenticated, but it's like, oh, no, that's a press. It's like a stamp.
I agree with Jimbo, 100%.
Jimbo sure.
I'm not even a memorabilia person, but I understand. I know people who are, and it's a big deal to get that thing signed by the actual person. And that's actually, forgery.
I actually enjoy doing it. I mean,
you
know, the fans come and watch you play, they don't actually – may not remember your face because you got this helmet on
all
the time.
Right,
so
yeah.
I think it's good to interact with the fans and kind of get to see that. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know, like they come to training camp, they spend their hard-earned money to come watch you play, and they have a favorite player, and they look up to you. You know, you're a role model to them, and you know, give him that attention.
Yeah, it's like, almost like a smack in the face.
So see, it's a big deal.
No, but he's not doing, I mean, but if in fact he's using, or the Eli Manning had a similar claim brought against him earlier, they're not doing it at training camp in front of fans.
Yeah,
if that's,
these are all balls
that you buy online or you buy.
Right.
So it's like, in that situation, like, I get that. Like, I would be, you know, if somebody wants my autograph. You know what I'm saying?
It's gonna cost me money.
Every time I sign my name, it costs me money. But like, to me, I think that's kind of whack. I think it's whack.
Because it's a big deal,
all,
or not?
I think it's a big deal.
Okay.
But I think it's a lame to be someone that's buying signed stuff off the internet to then like flip it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing with it. No, okay.
Not always.
No, man. If you got like a kid who grew up like you said, you grew up within, you could see Dallas Cowboys Stadium. If your mom and dad took you to training camp, you're not selling that football that you got signed by Troy Aikman or Emmitt Smith.
If he's
or whoever.
Going in person, he's not. But let's say he's going on eBay or Amazon, he might be flipping that.
Right, but if he's a true Cowboys fan, he would be buying it to have it.
And that's important. True. You're a true
you
fan.
Right. He'd be buying
that,
it to have
that
it.
That team or that person. Okay. You're not selling that stuff. You want to keep it. I mean, I know times are hard, but if you take the time out to go get your football or whatever signed, keep that.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
If you down the last $300 and you got $100 worth of memorabilia right there, go feel free to sell it. Right. Like, I'm not telling you to go hungry.
Right. Right.
But if that's how you make your money on a regular basis, then, like, find a hobby.
Raina, big deal? Nah.
Big deal. Sign the autographs.
I say nah.
Why?
Because, again, like, we talked about, if you're going to training camp in person, if you happen to be walking through AfterBuzz Studios and, you know, you see Darryl Washington, you're going to get your autograph in person. But if you're going online to buy it, if you go online to buy it.
That's the only access that some people have.
That's even worse then, because then you're buying bootleg shit.
Get it, Jimbo. Get it, Jimbo.
I understand what you're saying, but when you buy anything online, that's a crapshoot, 50-50 chance.
No.
No, when you buy something online, you expect it to be what you got offline. And you expect it to get there when the shipping says 3 to 5 business days? God damn it, it's been 6.
Situations my like this is why we have, like, the PSA DNA tests now to show, like, no, this is we mouth swabbed them. No, they signed this. You know? And it's different. I don't know how they're using a machine on actual footballs, if that's the case.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I can understand, like, okay, here's 1,000 8x10s. We're just going to run them through their machine. They all have your name.
Yeah.
And then if you're taking those to meet fans, maybe you personalize it for them. You know, and then you write their name. So then you're, like, giving it personally to them. Granted, you didn't want to sign 1,000, so you had it pressed. But still, and it should say, like, you could usually tell when you buy stuff.
Right.
You're like, this is a photocopy. This isn't a real autograph.
Right. Yeah, if you've seen an autograph before, you'll know the difference. Right. But I would get thousands of football, and I would sit there and sign every one of them. I'm excited to sign. I'm like, cool. Like, sign these football. Oh, cool, cool.
The only defense I can think of is you don't have the time as an athlete.
You don't have the time.
You know, as an athlete.
Yes, you do.
No. Okay.
Do you? Okay. Well,
there you go.
Yes, you do.
To sign thousands of footballs?
It's always time. I mean, you have Tuesdays off is the normal time you have off.
Yeah.
I mean, you have practice maybe from like 8 maybe to 3-ish, then you gotta watch film.
You
can always find time. I mean, guys in the locker room before practice, before meetings, after practice, and just sit around and eat. I mean, you have time during that time where you can eat after practice, before you go to meetings. Sign 500 then. After meetings, get in the cold shower, hot tub, whatever, sign 500 more. Go home. Guys are not leaving the facility until 6 or 7. I mean, you got family and everything, but you could take the time out one day to sign all those footballs, man. It'll make someone's day. You have to look at it in a different
perspective. So when your teammates are down, you can tell them that.
Dima says, nah, autographs are very 90s. Autographs are very 90s. I would rather a picture.
90s?
That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't want an autograph.
Picture.
But I'll take a selfie with you.
I'll take a picture with you over an
selfies after
for sure.
We wrap in a little bit. Big deal or not, LeVar Ball. Are you following the LeVar Ball drama, saga, fiasco?
Reality show?
I'm looking at it more and more. It's interesting to me. I like the dad. He's kind of cool. I like the player, Alonzo, himself.
Right.
So,
well,
cool.
Is it a big deal or not that his family might be getting a Facebook reality show?
I won't be surprised by it.
I
thought it was already a reality.
Exactly.
It's already becoming
now
that,
it's
man.
Just gonna be on Facebook. Nope. I mean, it's it's a big deal because it's an actual platform for him now, right. And he's building his brand, so I'm going to say big deal. But, I mean, I'm used to him in the spotlight now, so.
I say it's a big deal, too, because he's had so many detractors. He's had so many people who have hated on him.
And he just doesn't care.
And he keeps becoming, he keeps finding success in his controversy. So I think it's a really big deal that all the SHIT that he's done over the past 6 months, that now he has a reality show.
LeVar Ball got everybody like this.
Right.
Everybody like this on his every word, on his every move, and now he's about to cash in on it.
Yeah.
Like,
he's been cashing in on it.
But now he's about to actually get really money. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Genius.
Like,
that man is genius funny. Is what he's doing.
He is.
All this Suns have to do is ball.
Yeah.
They don't even have to ball.
But yes, he does. As a Laker?
I'm saying. But then, all right, so let's say hypothetically speaking, and I don't wish this on it. I don't wish this on the kid, because I wish nothing but good for the Ball family. I've been in love with this since day one. But like, if say Lonzo goes and flames out, right? And he's 3 years he's out of the league.
Okay.
Well, guess what? His younger brother has got to be, what, a lottery pick, if not a first round pick after that? Not LiAngelo, LaMelo?
I don't.
LaMelo scored 92 points in sophomore year in high school.
And basket back in high school.
He was basketball.
Did you watch the game? Did you see what the guy was doing?
I did. Thank you, Dan.
I'm a defensive guy.
I hear you.
Football, basketball, I'm a defensive guy.
There's 32 minutes in a high school basketball game.
I get it's a big deal, but
I just want to think about that. There's 32 minutes in a high school basketball game.
I get it.
The talent that
is he signed to UCLA.
Right.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? He's already he's going to be at UCLA. He'll start as a freshman. Like,
and also you got to look at the talent, the level of talent too. Like, it's every year it's not as good as, I mean, LaMelo's class is not going to be as good as Lonzo's class. Right. LaMelo scored 92 points on a terrible team. Terrible team.
Raina's
like
pissed.
they're so bad. Triple team. You mean to tell me you can't stick him? Like, okay, I'm sorry, I can go on that. But go ahead, continue. Sorry.
No, I mean, even if he was playing like five kids whose arm stopped at the elbows and he still scored 90, it's only 32 minutes. It's only 32 minutes.
I think it was cool. I mean, it was awesome for him.
Daryl, what were you going to say?
I mean, 92 points is 92 points. I mean, one's doing that regardless of the talent. But I mean, I don't respect the 92 from the way he got it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But 92 points is 90, it's not like Kobe 81. Kobe went out there, they was actually losing that game against the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Was losing that game, came back, he scored 81.
But if you heard that a running back in Texas rushed for 800 yards in a single game, you'd be like,
yeah, but if the defense just stepped aside and have him,
he still got to run.
A running back in Texas high school. Like, first of all, that's
not going to happen.
That's what I was going to say. Not in Texas. That's never going to happen.
Some of the best football in Texas. In Texas.
As I said, I'm thinking like a small market, like Odessa. Oh wait, never mind.
No, yeah, maybe in Idaho. Okay, big deal or not? Jay-Z admits in his new album 444 or 444. Is it a big deal or not that he has his whole album where he talks about how he cheated on Beyonce their entire
We knew he did that already.
But is it a big deal that he makes his album, which is kind of like a reply retort to Lemonade? Is that a big deal? Big deal or no?
It's gonna become a big deal. I gotta listen to the album first and foremost.
You're good. We're good.
I'll tell you this, it was a big enough deal that it had everybody for 48 hours making a referendum about whether or not you own title and support black business. So
right.
Like, it definitely cut through the conscience. I think it's more about than just Beyonce, him cheating on Beyonce. But I don't think it's a big deal that Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce.
I don't think it's a big deal that Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce, but I do think that it's a big deal that he admitted to it, because as athletes, as rappers, as, like, you know, black, like, heroes, we hold you guys on a pedestal. It's like,
you cheat on Beyonce.
You're perfect. And so for Jay-Z to be right. So multifaceted in so many arenas, I think it's a big deal that he says, look, I'm a man, I'm human, I have the baddest chick in the game.
You cheated on Beyonce.
I think it's a big deal.
You cheated on Beyonce.
And to your point, Martin, like, when you hear the album, Daryl, like, it's not just about, you know, infidelity. It's about black wealth. It's about, you know, building, you know, wealth within your own community. Right. You know, it has so many other facets to it. Mm-hmm. But, again, because he's a rapper, because he's a black man from the hood, and rappers often don't has show this vulnerable side. I think it's a really big deal that he has matured to the point where he can make his music about his personal life. I think it's a big deal. It's a great album.
I think
too.
You gotta give him his respect though. I mean, just the simple fact you would make an album about not necessarily about infidelity, right. But just your wealth and everything. Just being a black man from, like you said, from the hood, Marcy Projects. I think you gotta give him his respect. As a lyricist, I respect Jay-Z. I mean, my favorite album is the Black Album.
Good album.
You know, one of my favorite albums. So But I mean, you got to respect him for, you know, what he did. You kind of have your indifferences about why would he do it, but
right.
You got to respect him for at least being vulnerable to that and putting it out there.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting.
Beyonce ain't going nowhere anyway.
That shit ain't going nowhere, but I mean, come on. Like,
neither one of them is going either. Do y'all think that Beyonce's never cheated on Jay-Z before? Because I do. I don't think this is a shock to either one. They've been together.
You think Beyonce
she was 19 when they got together.
Right,
you think Beyonce cheated on Jay?
Oh, come on. She was 19 when they got together. She's an international superstar.
That alter ego came out.
She was Sasha Fierce and got it popping.
No. This is me not being a white knight, but women are different than men.
Women love you.
If she loves you, she will not cheat on you, period.
If she loves you, she ain't going to get caught cheating on you because she's smarter than you.
No.
There you go.
Because she's smarter than you and she'll never get caught. Because she knows you and knows all your little idiosyncrasies. You think Beyonce don't know what Jay-Z's up there doing?
So you think...
I think...
So if you had a bet on it, you saying she cheated on him?
I would bet, yes. I would bet that.
If she cheated, okay. It would only be because she found out that he cheated first.
It don't matter.
So what that mean? I only hit you because you hit me first? So what? I still hit you? Like, what
fair,
you talking about?
Foul or can't call it.
You see the way Beyonce look at LeBron?
We got to run. Oh, nobody's checking
Rihanna
for LeBron.
Rihanna looks at LeBron more than Beyonce.
Both of them.
Beyonce ain't worried about LeBron.
Right. I don't think so either.
Who knows?
Fair foul or can't call it. Real fast. Manny Pacquiao lost to Australian Jeff Horn in a unanimous decision. Was that fair? Did you see that fight
foul.
On ESPN?
Oh, my God. Foul.
That was wrong, man. I'm a Manny Pacquiao fan. But it was obvious. It was obvious as a fan of boxing, as a competitor, Manny Pacquiao won that fight.
Crazy.
And I'm sticking with that.
Right.
And you hear people saying that the Mayweather-McGregor fight's going to, like, ruin boxing. This is ruining boxing. This is why boxing's not popular anymore. There's constant decisions like this.
I agree.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the punches thrown, punches landed, power punches thrown, power punches landed, all of them favor Pacquiao. How do you lose?
Well, Pacquiao says the referees were not competent.
You got to understand where they was at. Who was he fighting? Australia?
Yeah, he's
Australia. Where were they fighting at?
They're in Australia. Yeah.
Come on now.
I feel like he was just chasing a bag, honestly.
Who, Pacquiao?
Yeah. Like
he got off some steroids, man. I still respect you, Pacquiao. I respect you. His head was a lot bigger when he was on him, and then he got off of him.
It's like, you know, I'll say I can't call it because while he didn't – if you see that, like, I saw parts of the fight, I didn't watch the whole thing, admittedly, and it looked like he should have won, but I really just feel like, it's when you think, like, what is he doing there in Australia, fighting an Australian, he's supposed to be the contender. I mean, the Australian's supposed to be the contender, but it's like, you're supposed to come to me. That's how boxing works. So you go and do all that, you're there for the bag, and that's what you get.
There's supposed to be an integrity to every single sport and every game that we play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have to
live to the audience.
So he did it to get that one station to bring back boxing so that we don't have to pay for it.
That's what it was?
Yeah. Like when you research it, that's why he went over there and did it. For that TV line to get all the boxing back so that we don't have to pay for it.
Our live studio audience just chimed in. Renee sitting in the live studio. Are you Filipina? Okay.
Nice.
I was like, maybe she's taking it for Manny, because, gotcha. Raina, fair foul or can't call it?
Foul.
Tim Tebow, fair foul or can't call it? He gets promoted.
Why are we still talking about it?
Because he got promoted to high.
Like, you go, Tebow. Where's Charlie?
Shout out to
Daryl, fair foul or can't call it? He keeps getting promoted in the minors, whatever,
if he
instructional.
Deserves it. Oh, sorry,
I would say fair. I mean, you know, Tim Tebow, man, he's been through a lot, and he just keep going, and he's not going to give in.
Come on.
You know, so this fair. Shout out to Tim Tebow, man. Keep doing your
Eric,
thing.
You know you're fair.
Tebow, but like, come on. You're talking about a dude playing double-A ball.
It's fair.
It
comes down to ratings and how many butts can you put in the seat.
Who? No. I'm sorry. No, it's foul as hell.
Thank
just
you,
like his bat. It's like all the balls he fouls off. You talking about it's for ratings?
The bet he fouls off.
You talking about it's for ratings? There's nobody watching single-A baseball.
No one's,
and there's even less people. I mean, there's nobody watching double-A baseball and even less watching single-A.
No one's watching it on television. But
they go to the games.
People go to those games and those small, super ridiculous
small. Like 300 people. What are you talking about? We're talking about single-A baseball.
Obviously, someone in the front
office. The first
office,
time I ever came here, you told me no one watches real baseball.
No one watches real baseball. Everyone's talking single A. Someone in the front office knows that Tim Tebow is celebrity enough to put butts in those seats. Because otherwise,
but we're gonna talk about it here. I don't want to talk about Tim Tebow anymore.
Do you really think the populace of Lakeland, Florida, or whoever they play their spring training
people
game,
in
are
Lakeland,
they're,
Florida, have nothing to do but ride around the racetrack
and be 85 years old
on big trucks and big tires? Listen, I'm from a small town in South Georgia. No one in the South is doing anything fun on the weekends. If you have Tim Tebow in your town, you're going to spend your little $5 and sit in the seat.
It's bigger than baseball. You know, they love him for the person he is.
Thank you.
Yes.
And if he can put seats, if we can bring Tim Tebow and put seats,
just know somewhere right now there's an 18-year-old first baseman who deserves to be on a single-A baseball team who can't because Tim Tebow is chasing a dream.
And we got the MLB All-Star game coming up, but we ain't talking about the Home Run Derby or anything like that. We talking about Tim Tebow and double-A boys.
Brandon, you say fair.
He's not in the Home Run Derby, right?
Yeah.
Fair Fowler can't call it. It is fair.
It's not
fair. And he's so cute. Fair Fowler can't call it. And that's whatever.
He wouldn't cheat on Beyonce. I'll give him that.
Well, he's allegedly a virgin.
Allegedly. They love him for the person he is.
A great person. Great guy. He's a great guy.
Some are considering hot dog eating champion Joey Chestnut to be an athlete. Is it fair, Fowler, you can't call it that? Joey Chestnut, the guy who ate 72 hot dogs on 4th of July. Is he an athlete? Is that fair to call him an athlete? Or is it foul to call him an athlete? Because he won the hot dog eating contest.
It's foul to me. An athlete for eating 72 hot dogs? Well, how much the guy weighs?
Like 170 pounds. I'm not even sure.
190.
Congratulations to him, but foul. I mean,
you are not an athlete.
He gained 20 pounds. He said after eating competition, he gains 20 pounds. He loses it in 4.5 days.
How he doesn't have a heart attack is beyond me.
Right. Well, exactly. Yet.
Yeah.
So I say foul as well. Foul, fair, not athlete. Okay.
Foul.
We got to wrap. Daryl, what have we missed? What do we need to know about your philanthropy, upcoming projects, workouts? What are we looking out for you to do? What's your next move? What do people out here need to know about you?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to get with this clothing line called No Tribe Clothing, which I just did a photo shoot with them today. So shout out to No Tribe Clothing and 5-4 Clothing Line, too. So I'm looking to get into that. Also, some film stuff I've been working on with littlefilmlittlebooks.com. Check them out. My boy Philip Penzi out there in Arizona. So I've been getting to the film. But, you know, I'm going to continue training, and hopefully I hear that call real soon this month.
And when you do, make sure you tag us in the news on your Instagram and on your Twitter.
Appreciate it.
Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Sports Weekly. We're kind of on hiatus, but we have people like Daryl. You know, we had to get out of bed to come in for him. Erica Renee Davis, you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, and on InstaStory at Erica Renee D.
Josh Rodriguez, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
Martin Weiss, _MartinWeiss.
And I'm Raina Lake. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ali.
And it's always, oops, sorry, Raina.
That's always fine.
I'm joking. Follow us on Black Hollywood Live at blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. Follow Daryl Washington at
Daryl Washington _58 the great. Jerry Jones.
This will be a Cowboy soon. We're Dak Riders. We are Daryl Riders. Until next time, see ya.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christie, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.